What we're going to learn today is an explanation. We're not going to learn inside the text. I assume you read the text, and I assume there are some questions. But you know what? Hopefully, with God's help, the explanation will actually clear all the questions. And of course, if there are more questions, we can deal with them. Not a problem. And what we're going to learn is a Hasidic discourse that the Rebbe pronounced in 1984, by the beginning of the Jewish year and the end of the civil year, so to speak, in Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah, it's a very happy time, and the Rebbe used to deliver discourses, sometimes very profound. This one in particular is not so profound, and it's not so long, and so on. But in this particular discourse, we can find something that, at least when I learned it, and again, I'm assuming you learned the text, when I learned it, I saw something very interesting that we can apply in our understanding of who we are, Jewish, non-Jewish, what happens between this, in this particular argument on creation, what's the supervision of God upon us, and so on. This is what I found. This is not what the Rebbe was talking about, I'm sure. But however, whatever, we can learn from the text and we can learn from the teachings of the Rebbe. And the main point over here is to apply it to our life. Not just to see, okay, there's a text over here. The text says this and that, and that's it. What does it mean? I have no idea. This is the text. No. We're supposed to actually do with something with it. So this is what I found, and this is why I found it interesting to learn it with you. So let's go. First of all, I prepared, this is a very, very summarized summary, something like that. This is what we're going to learn. There's going to be a verse in Tehillim, in Psalms 117, and there's a question over there, and we're going to understand what the question is, what the request is over here. Based on the Tehillim, sorry, the explanation is going to be based on the Tehillim. This particular verse, may the Lord, Yehi Hashem Elokeinu Imanu, may the Lord be with us, and so on. This is the text, I'm sorry, I made a mistake over here, that Shlomi HaMelech pronounced, actually, when King Solomon, when he built the first temple, and he made a long prayer over there. You can look it up. It's in Melachim Aleph. I don't remember exactly in the first book of Kings, I don't remember exactly the chapter, but you can find it easily. It's not difficult. The prayer of Shlomo HaMelech when he built the temple. And interestingly, he mentioned the non-Jews, that God should answer the non-Jews when they come to ask you something and so on. Okay, so over there, he mentions this verse. So we're going to talk about this verse. What was he exactly asking for? And one note before moving on. Torah has many, many explanations. For every single thing, you can find many explanations. The point, the truth is that God told us in the Torah itself, Shivim Panim La Torah, there are 70 different explanations for the Torah. So this is going to be one. Does it mean that Shlomi HaMelech, King Solomon, like 2,500 years ago, was actually thinking about this exactly when he said what he said? I don't think so. Could be, but I don't know. And it's interesting that the words of the Torah are presented, so to speak, by God, of course, in such a way that you can understand them in many different ways. To the point that the original text of the Torah in a parchment with ink and so on don't have vowels, don't have dots under the letters to show you the vowels. That means you can read it in many ways. Sometimes the reading doesn't make any sense, but sometimes you change one vowel over here, over there, and suddenly a different word appears, and there's a different meaning over here. So there are lawyers and lawyers of deepness that you can actually understand the Torah. We are going to learn one idea that is found in the Hasidic thought, in Hasidic discourses, and so on, that the Rebbe is going to share with us, and I'll try to make my best effort to share it with you. So again, there's going to be a verse with a petition, and we're going to ask, what's the petition? What's Shlomi HaMelech asking, actually? Then we're going to go into a philosophical argument within the nations of the world and the Jewish people, and that's where I particularly found an interesting idea. And then We're going to learn what's the main focus of Judaism. What are we standing for? What's the main thing over here? Spirituality? Like, I'm a Jew in my heart. If I'm not a Jew, I keep the laws in my heart. But in the practical sense, no. Or action. Whether, independently of what you think, of what you feel, action. This is what we're going to learn. Let's go. First of all, Psalm 117 says, Avenge the nation, idea. He says over there that the nations ask, where is their God? That's what they say. Where is your God? That's what the nations ask. And the Jewish people answer, God is in the heavens, and all he does all that he pleases. This is the answer the Jews give the nations. Of course, don't think about like a huge theater, there's a Jew over there and non-Jew, and they're arguing and ask. No, that's not the way it is. This is a spiritual thing, and our sages do tell us that the nations, the ancient nations of the world, they used to think in a specific way, as we're going to learn in a minute. They used to see the world in a very specific way. And that's the argument they had with the Jews, as we're going to learn. Okay, so again, we have a question over here. The non-Jews, the nations of the world, asking, where is your God? Don't they know where God is? They know. And they actually, most of them at least, believe in God. And they understand what God means, infinity, and so on. So what's the question? Where is your God? And furthermore, what's the answer? Yeah, God is in the heavens and in the earth. What's the answer? Don't they know this?
They know this.
So what's going on over here? So if we learn this question in a deeper way, what they're asking is a very interesting question. They're asking like this. Look, you, the Jewish people, again, we're talking about the ancient nations of the world. It doesn't mean that every single non-Jew asks this question. No, we're understanding a philosophical concept, as we're going to learn. So, again, the non-Jews, they learn Torah, they know the Torah, they know who Abraham was, Yitzchak, Yaakov, all the forefathers of the Jewish people, they know this. It's available for anyone in any language and so on. What they're asking is, look, we did see in ancient times miracles and godly revelations for the forefathers. We saw this. They're recorded in the Torah, we believe on them and so on. However, we don't see in you, the modern, so to speak, nowadays Jews, any spiritual revelation. There's nothing like that. We don't see that. So what they're asking is, where is your God? You're saying that God is with you. The non-Jews are saying to the Jews, you're saying that God is with you. You're saying that there are godly revelations in every single deed that a person does. Really? I don't see that. And the truth is, nobody sees this. I don't see that either. I keep the mitzvahs, I fulfill whatever God wants from me as a Jew and so on, and still, I don't see a godly light like shining upon me, and I don't see that. So that's what the non-Jews are complaining about. Where is your God? That's the question. Where is your God? And the Rebbe goes in the text a little bit deeper. It's not just, where's God? The non-Jews know that Avraham Avinu, he was like a chariot to the quality of kindness. He expressed godly kindness in the world. And Yitzchak was a chariot for severity. He expressed godly severity in the world, limits and so on. And Yaakov expressed beauty, which is a combination of chesed and gvura. It doesn't really mean what it means right now. It doesn't matter what it means now. Kindness and severity, it's a combination and so on. They knew this. They agreed to this, and what they're asking is, I don't see it by you. In the times of our forefathers, whatever they did, action was not necessarily what we do when we fulfill, as a Jew, mitzvahs. Take it just one example, tefillin. The mitzvah of tefillin, which is called phylacteries, whatever that word means, I don't know, whatever. It's like a black box made of leather, and we put it in the head, and then we put it in the arm, and we say a few prayers and so on. That's the mitzvah of tefillin, actually. It's two mitzvahs, whatever. Mitzvah of tefillin. Did the forefathers have this commandment as it is now? The answer is no, they didn't. But our sages in the Zohar explain, in Jewish mysticism explain, that Yaakov Avinu also fulfilled the mitzvah of tefillin. How did he do it? When in the whole story, when he is leaving basically the house of his of Lavan, of the father of his wives and so on, he is actually multiplying the sheep and goats and so on of Lavan, and he made a whole system of how to actually grow these sheep and these goats. And he took some sticks and he made some signs in the sticks, and there's a whole thing over there, Parshas Vayishlach, you can look at it, look it up. The point is, Parshas Vayishlach, it's before Parshas Vayishlach. Yeah, Parshas Vayetzeh. Okay, so the point is that our sages explain that Yaakov Avinu accomplished, spiritually speaking, the same thing with those sticks, the same thing we accomplish with tefillin, with the mitzvah of tefillin, with the black leather and so on, in the arm and in the head and so on. So they did do something, but that deed, that action was not connected directly to Kedusha, to sanctity, in a way that when Yaakov finished working, spiritually working with the sticks, he threw the sticks away. We don't have those sticks anymore. But if you have a pair of tefillin, you cannot just throw them. They're sent. They're holy. There's a holiness on the tefillin itself. You have to take care of it. So we do see a change, a difference between the mitzvahs that our forefathers used to fulfill, as we're going to learn in a few minutes, and our mitzvahs. So the nations of the world are complaining, so to speak. We did see godly revelations by Avram, by Yitzchak, by Yaakov, miracles, open miracles in many ways. We don't see that on you. In a different, on the Jews today. Even though a person can think, yeah, this event was a miracle, that event was a miracle, they're very nice. But by Avraham Avinu, he was thrown into a fiery furnace and he went away alive, like open miracle, clearly. Nobody can doubt that. Now, the question of the nations is exactly this. Let's put it in different words. The forefathers used to serve God, not necessarily in a practical action way, rather, more in an intellectual and emotional way. Again, Avram represented kindness, and Yitzchak represented severity, and so on. And also in an intellectually level, also the same thing. Avram represented the godly intellect, chokhmeh, wisdom, whatever that means. And Yitzchak represented bina, understanding, whatever that means, and so on. So they, the nations of the world, accept it. They accept that there is a way of serving God in an intellectual way and in an emotional way. You can love God, you can fear God, you can understand God, whatever you understand, and so on. But nowadays, no forefathers. Today is not a time of forefathers. It's already past that stage. Today, we don't see that. Today, we don't see that. And the Jews claim that today's service to God is an actual practical service. You have to go do something. Just do it, as they say, whatever. You have to go do something. It's not enough just to think about God. It's not enough just to feel for God, love, fear, whatever. You have to do. Whatever God tells you to do, the 630 mitzvahs for Jews and then the seven mitzvahs and the ramifications for non-Jews and so on. But you have to go do something. It's not enough just to think and feel. This is precisely what the nations of the world are complaining about. We don't see miracles. We don't see divine light and so on in action. We just see it in intellect and emotions. Why, as I mentioned before, why did this resonate to me a very interesting difference between Judaism and other religions? Because other religions, Christianity is full of this, it's a lot about what you feel. It's a lot about the heart. Love, love the fellow, love this, love that, and so on. But not necessarily about action. Yes, you can tell me, yeah, but they do kindness, acts of kindness. They help these poor people, that poor people, and so on. Yeah, okay. But there's no action I stress this, there's no action that you have to do to serve God. No. Just have to feel. And then do kindness in the world, express kindness. Yeah, yeah, that's very nice. Is there anything that God tells you to do in order to serve Him, independently of whatever you have to do around you, how you influence the world around you, how you do kindness around you? Let's leave that aside for a second. Everybody agrees you have to be a good guy. Very nice. You have to help and so on. But is there anything practical, concrete, that you have to do in order to serve God? In Christianity, for instance, the answer is no. There's nothing you have to do. Then the Catholics came up with the, you know, to eat this bread and to drink the wine. That's all made up. It's all made up. It's not written anywhere. Like, where is it written in the five books of Moses that you have to do this and that? They came up with it. Whether it's fine or not fine, right or not, I don't care. But it's not written anywhere. To the point that other circles of Christianity that are not Catholic, they don't do that. They argue with that. So, what I'm trying to say is that the modern religious non-Jew actually thinks exactly the same way as the ancient non-Jew. Leaving the idea of idolatry aside, this mimer, this discourse is not talking about idolatry, forget about that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, do you have to do something to serve God or not? So they used to say no. Godly service is only intellectual and emotional. And we say yes. Godly service is to do whatever He wants. How do we see this? Let's look at the answer that the Jewish people offer. When we saw, let's go back just a second, this was Psalm 117, a very short psalm, where there is a question and an answer. The question of the nations was, where is your God? And we explained already, the question is not, is there a God? No. They know about God, they believe in God, and so on. The question is, your actions don't bring down God. By your forefathers, their actions, actually their intellect and emotion, it brought down God into the world. But your actions don't bring God down. Don't mean anything. Why do you have to do something? You don't have to do anything. You can be a nice Jew in your heart. No need to do anything. And we answer to that, no, that's wrong. You have to do something in order to serve God. Okay, so what's the answer? The answer in Psalm 117, our God is in the heavens, God is in the heavens, He does all that He pleases. What does that mean, the answer? They, the nations of the world, they held, and some of them they hold, as we're going to learn in a minute, in the next slide, if I'm not mistaken, they hold that God is above everything in the earth, and He is actually not in the earth. His supervision, His involvement with creation that He makes and so on, is only in the heavens, only in the spiritual realm. Again, I repeat this. In order to serve God, just be a spiritual guy. That's good enough. Either intellectual or emotional, you can, whatever, both. But no need to do anything in the world. No need to affect the world in a practical way. No way. And Judaism says, no, you're wrong. God is in the heavens, and He acts in the earth also. Both in spirituality, heavens, and materiality, what He does, the actions that He does in the earth, God is the same. In other words, for God, there's no difference between the heavens and the earth. The nations of the world, the ancient nations of the world, they used to say, there is a difference. Wait a second, as we're going to learn in a minute. There is a difference. God is closer to the heavens than to the earth. And therefore, if you want to serve God, you don't have to do anything down here in the earth. You just, whatever, think, feel, something that is closer, so to speak, to spirituality, something that is closer to heavens, to godliness. You don't have to do anything. And the Jews say, no. Heavens and the earth, compared to God, is exactly the same. No difference. Now, what's the source, so to speak, the root of this argument, whether the service of God should be a spiritual service or should be a physical, material service? The root of the argument is, what is the creation? How does God do his creation? What's the system of creation? And the Rebbe explains throughout the discourse, and this is explained in many, many discourses and brought down in many places in Hasidus when they talk about non-Jews. The non-Jews believe that the creation is cause and consequence. Ilo ve'olul in Hebrew. Ilo ve'olul. That the olul, the consequence, is able to grasp and understand its cause, and it's related to the cause. Rather, it's just a little bit, a small expression of the cause, a smaller expression than the cause. And then that consequence becomes the cause of the next consequence, and so on. You just go diminishing whatever, godly light or energy or whatever you want to call it. You just go diminish it, cause, consequence, cause, consequence, cause, consequence, and so on, until you actually reach what? You can't reach materiality from a diminishing of cause-consequence divine energy. Why? Because God is infinite. Divine energy is also infinite. So you'll never get a diminishing of cause-consequence, cause-consequence, until you get from, you go from spirituality, abstract whatever energy, to materiality. It's impossible. So that, what do they hold? Wait a second. Wait a second. God is closer to the heavens. Cause, consequence, and so on. And then there's a break. And the break is material world. God is not involved in the material world. Forget it. That's what they held. I don't know if still hold, whatever. But God is not related to us. God is so powerful, so big, as we learned before. Just going back a second. This is also a verse in Tehillim. God is in heavens is his glory. Allah Shomayim Kivoidei. His glory is in the heavens. That means not down here. That's what they held. Therefore, the way of servicing God, of connecting to God, has to be something spiritual. It can't be something material. Because again, God is not related to material world. There's a cut, there's a break between this whole chain of cause, consequence. There's a break over there because God is spiritual and anything spiritual, quote-unquote, heavens, is close to God and we're far from him and he doesn't know what goes on over here. But because he is God, he's all-powerful, whenever he wants, he can come and touch and do something, whatever, even in the material world. But he's not related to the material world. He's far from here. Therefore, if you want to serve God, you don't need to act in the material world. You just do your thing in the spiritual world. Emotions and intellect. Intellect and emotions. That's what they used to hold. But for us, creation is something from nothing. What does that mean? It's also a break. Something from nothing. Like before there was nothing and now there's something. What does that mean, nothing? Why do we call God nothing? He is something and we are nothing. So that's a deep discussion also of what does it mean exactly, the creation something from nothing, which in truth is nothing from something. He is the truth something, and we're the true nothing. But whatever, that's a different discourse, deep discourse. Many, many deep discourses discussing this idea. But in any case, we used to say that the creation is something from nothing. We are something, he is nothing, because we don't understand him. We can't grasp what God is, so we call him nothing. That's fine. And we look at ourselves and we call ourselves something. I exist. I'm here. So I'm something. But what's the difference between the way the nations of the world used to hold how's the creation and our way? Our way is that since the whole creation, both material world and the spiritual worlds in front of God are nothing, he's something, we are nothing. Again, I repeat, both material and spiritual. Don't come to say that God is closer to spirituality than materiality. No, that's a mistake. For him is the same, spirituality or materiality. For him is the same, even though I'm not going to explain all what I'm saying right now, and the Rebbe also doesn't explain in the discourse. You can learn about the spiritual worlds that Kabbalah talks about, that Tzilus, Bri, Yetzirah, whatever names, whatever they are. It's exactly the same, that than me. It's exactly the same. From the perspective of God, He's infinitely, quote unquote, far from that than from me. Or, the other way around, infinitely close to that and to me. No difference. No difference at all. So that's why the answer that the Jewish people used to offer this question of the non-Jews, where is God? The answer is heavens, earth, dust, materiality, action, everything is the same. Everything is the same. Taking this, again, into what I just thought could be useful to understand, to break, so to speak, with some idea that many, many non-Jews, because that's the way the world works. I'm not saying this is good or bad. I'm just saying this is the reality. Many, many non-Jews come from Christianity. That's the truth in one way or another. And they, again, they do hold spirituality is the main thing. Love for God. Love your fellow Jew. You don't need to do anything. Just love him. Whatever. Just believe in God. If you believe in God, you're fine. Just believe this guy came to save you. If you believe in this, you're fine. You're saved. Nothing else you need to do. And Judaism comes and says, wait a second. It's very nice to believe in God. I'm not saying that that thing that they believe is God. It's not. Definitely not. But whatever. What I'm saying is, it's very nice to believe in God. Do you do what God expects from you or not? If you're doing what God expects from you, you're fine. But my beliefs, I have doubts. I don't care. You have doubts? Go to a rabbi and talk to a rabbi, and maybe he can help you with your doubts. But if you do what you have to do, you're fine. If you don't do what you have to do, I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what you think. You're wrong. I'm sorry. You have to do. That's what Judaism answers. And again, why? What's the difference? Because the difference is, how is God actually relating himself to his creation? Is there a thing where God is far from? Is there a thing that God is above and not within? No. But they're going to tell you yes. In spiritual worlds, it's better over there. It's nicer over there. And what do the Jews say? God wants this world with all its garbage and all these difficulties. And I know, yes, everybody has them. Everybody leaves them. Yeah. But this is what God wants. A human being down here in this earth, living through all those different difficult and different stages of life, and still doing what he has to do. That's the answer the Jews offer. Moreover, and the Rebbe brings this in the discourse very briefly, but I think it's very interesting to explain. Moreover, there's a verse in Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs. The verse says, your ointments, the whole Song of Songs is a very deep learning, very difficult learning, and it's talking about the relationship between either the Jewish people and God or the Jewish people and the Torah. In any case, there's a verse over there. It's expressed as the relationship between a man and a woman, two lovers, whatever. So that's the way it's expressed, but it's talking about something else. Over there it says like this, your ointments yield sweet fragrance. Like, I like very much the smell of your perfume, whatever. But in your name, it's like finest oil. There's a difference, a huge difference between fragrance and oil. What's the difference? The difference is that oil is the thing itself, is the real thing. And fragrance is just an expression, like a reflection of the thing. Like you can have the perfume by itself, like the liquid or whatever it is, or you can have just the smell. The smell dissipates quite quickly. And the perfume, it's something that never ends, so to speak, because it's over there. It's the source of that fragrance, of the smell, and so on. So our sages explain that the fulfillment of the commandments of the forefathers, as I explained before, by Abraham, by Yaakov, and so on, the tefillin, and whatever other case it is, was like a fragrance, was not the main thing, action. No, it was just a reflection of the actions. And they only had an effect in the higher worlds, in the spiritual worlds, and so on. Their service was a spiritual service. However, after the giving of the Torah, the mitzvahs are like oil. It's the real thing. It's action. It's affecting the world. is doing something to change the world. It's not just love God. Very nice. What do you do about it? This is what the Rebbe brings. And the idea behind the Rebbe bringing this is that not only main thing is action, but I'll repeat this because I don't have better words, but really the main thing is action. Let me say this in different words. Where do you really find God? Not in intellect and not in emotions. In action. In concrete action. Could be a very simple, maybe too much, but a simple example. You can go to a poor person and tell him, I'm so sorry about you, and your life is very difficult, and I'll be with you, and I'll sit with you, and blah, blah, blah. Did you give him something to eat? No, but I sat with him, and I talked to him, and I said this and that, and I feel for you, and I love you so much. It's useless. Unless you really give him something to eat, doesn't really matter what you say. Of course, if you don't have something to eat, so at least say nice words. Whatever, I'm not saying it's wrong. What I'm saying is, the main thing is that the guy is hungry. Very nice words. Do you have something to eat? I'm hungry. That's what Judaism brings. Very nice, all the sermons a person can give. It's very nice, all the... Whatever, it's just today, whatever. All the churches and the properties and the things that they have, and they see such a, and the Vatican is full of gold all over the place. Very nice. But you know what? That's not service to God. It's service to you. You like the nice chairs, and you like the nice colors, and you like the nice gold, and so on. That's not service to God. No, I'm so sorry. God doesn't want only your heart. God wants your deeds. What do you do? That's what really he really wants. And this is what Judaism is all about. This is what it's all about. Of course, it's very nice to learn the deeper meaning of things and to live it and to feel it and to... Yeah, yeah, of course. And Hasidus is full of that. Hasidic thought is all about that. However, never forget. Main thing, action. If you feel a lot, if you think a lot, and if you know a lot, but you don't do, I'm sorry. You didn't get the point. So, as a summary, what was the question of the nations? The question was in the Psalm, where is God? Where is their God? Where is your God? What were they saying? We don't see divine revelations as we saw by the forefathers. Their service was very lofty and very nice and so on. And they do complain. You don't bring down godliness through action. Forget it. Godliness is only about spiritual feelings and understandings and ideas and so on. Not about action. That's their question complaint. What's the answer? The Jewish people answer that our God is in the heavens. He does. Again, heavens and does. Action. Spirituality and materiality. For God, it's exactly the same. You can't say he's further from one or closer to the other one. It's exactly the same. And furthermore, where does he want to be? Down here. And this is what our sages say in the Midrash. It is very famous. God wants to have a dwelling place in the lower worlds. Which world? In this one. So how do you actually do something to change this world in order to make it a dwelling place for God? You have to do something. Do whatever God wants you to do. Again, Jews are going to have 613 commandments, whatever they are, and non-Jews are going to have 7 with the ramifications, whatever they are, but just go do something. It's not enough just to believe. It's not enough just to feel, understand. No way. Going back to the beginning of the discourse, because this was all about Psalm 117. So what's the discourse wasn't about that psalm. The discourse was about a petition that Shlomo Melech did. What was he asking? So now let's learn the petition again. May the Lord our God be with us. Shlomo Melech built the first temple, King Solomon, whatever. And that was many years after the giving of the Torah. So may God be with us as he was with our forefathers. What was he asking? God, show miracles today, just as you showed with them, with our forefathers. You were with them showing miracles. Show to the whole world today miracles, open miracles also. So nobody has any doubt that the way to go, so to speak, is Judaism. Okay, again, it has a message for Jews and for non-Jews. Okay. You have to sit down and learn which is the message. But the point is that this showed everybody with open miracles that this is the way to go. This is the way to go. In other words, which is actually the same, it's just other words, nowadays we can feel and we can understand up to a certain point. However, the main work is not understanding and feeling. Of course, we sit over here and we're having a class and we're trying to understand an idea. And we do hopefully understand the idea. And we can, through that idea and other ideas, feel love for God, fear for God, and so on. So many things to think about. The greatness of God, the creation, and so on. Very nice. But the main work is not that. Today, the main work is action. Go do something for somebody else. Go do something, even though it sounds strange, I know, for God. do something for him. Because after all, he is concealed. He is in Golus, so to speak, in exile. So it's our work, it's our job to reveal his presence down here. Through what? Through actions.